Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Life moves pretty fast.
Slow down there.
Hurry it up. We're burning daylight.
Will you take a pill or something? Will you just relax?
Nobody likes to admit that they can't handle the pressure.
I just want to do God's will.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And one of the biggest problems facing American families today is this breathless pace in which we're living our lives. Well, the question for today is, how do we step off the accelerator and slow down the pace of your life? Author Ruth Haley Barton has become an advocate for encouraging busy men and women to accept an invitation to solitude and silence as a way of recharging your spiritual batteries and drawing closer to God in the process, and also improving the quality of key relationships in your life. Well, during the next half hour, I'll talk with Ruth about experiencing peace amidst the pressures of life. So stay with us here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Good to have you along for the ride today. We're going to experience peace amidst the pressures of life. Author and speaker Dr. Ruth Haley Barton is with us, and she's written an outstanding book on this topic called Invitation to Solitude and Silence. If that sounds maybe a little new agey, don't fear. This is all based on biblical principles. This is all based on what she does at the Transforming Center in terms of helping us as believers get a little better connected in terms of just kind of decompressing, unplugging our busy, busy lives, and really hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say. We'll have more about her book later in the broadcast as well. And now with part one of today's program, here's Dr. Jim Burns on Homeward.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is a really big day at Homeward. We have a wonderful author and a wonderful communicator. Her name is Ruth Haley Barton. We're talking about stopping the madness in your life, and it's from an outstanding book called Invitation to Solitude and Silence, Experiencing God's Transforming Presence. And you're going to like this day. It's going to be a great day, and actually it's going to be a day where we're really going to talk about something very important, transforming our own hearts. Ruth Haley Barton is the co-founder of the Transforming Center, which is a ministry that seeks to shape and care for the souls of leaders, as well as some moms and dads. Has also served on several church staffs, including Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago area. She lives in the Chicago area with her husband, Chris, and their three daughters. Ruth, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, Ruth, you and I had the privilege to speak together in Chattanooga, and from that day, I have wanted you on our program, and that's been a while, so it's a privilege for us to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. Good things come in time. I'm glad to be here.
This is going to kind of be our spiritual direction day in many ways. You know, I was mentioning to you before the program started that I have just, for the second time, read through your book, Invitation to Solitude and Silence, and at Christmas time, I actually passed it out to some of the very important people in my life, because I love this. And yet this book is, in many ways, is about your life as well. You said at the beginning of your book that desperation was what propelled you into solitude. Talk about that.
Yes. Desperation is a very good thing in the spiritual life. That's a hard thing to hear, but it's a good thing because it causes us to be open to solutions or open to ways of being that are different than what we might be willing for if we weren't so desperate. And for me, it came in my early 30s, right as I was turning 30, and I was a person, I had all three of my children by then, and I was a person in Christian ministry. I'd been a Christian since I was 4 years old, and yet I was recognizing at that time emotions that I could sometimes manage but not always control. I was noticing that there was a frenetic quality to my life that was disturbing to me because I could recognize that I couldn't slow it down myself, and it was a bit out of control. There were questions for which I had no answers, questions that were a little scary for me to consider. And at that point, I didn't know exactly where to turn or what to do. The normal Bible studies and sermons and those sorts of things weren't helping on the levels in which I really needed help. And so at that point, I had a spiritual director who pointed me towards the disciplines of solitude and silence.
Help us understand what a spiritual director is for those who don't know.
Yes. A spiritual director is someone who is more well-versed in the ways of the soul than many of us are, someone who's had a great deal of experience and perhaps even some training in paying attention to what's happening in a person's soul and what's happening in a person's relationship with God. person who has practiced in the area of discernment, which is being able to sense the presence of God and then able to support us in faithfully following God's will in our lives.
Well, fabulous. I interrupted you as you were going, but I wanted our listeners to make sure that
yes.
they knew what that was. Go
Thank
ahead.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I came across a spiritual director, and that was new for me, too. 15 years ago, people within evangelicalism weren't talking about solitude and silence, and they weren't talking about spiritual directors, so it was all new to me. But I also believe that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and that certainly happened for me. And this person was able to point me towards the disciplines of solitude and silence, which were radically different kinds of invitations for me at that point. At that point, my Christian life was characterized by many, many words, a whole lot of intellectual striving and hard work, a whole lot of activity, a whole lot of Christian busyness. And so the invitation to solitude and silence for me was a fairly radical invitation. And if I hadn't been so desperate, I probably would have run the other way.
Hmm. Oh, sure. You know, I resonated with a phrase when you had three questions that you wrote in your book. And one of the phrases was, why do I find it terribly hard to say no, even when my overcommitment hurt those closest to me?
Yes.
And you were feeling that. And yet, you know, I'm sure that there's a listener or 100,000 of them who are saying, hey, fine, I want solitude and I want to seek silence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my life is, I'm not a very disciplined person. I've got 2.5 kids. I've got bills, job, husband or wife, the list goes on. They say, you know, sounds good, but how do you get started?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, that's the beauty of desperation, because there is a point in all of our lives where we say the pain of continuing to live this way is worse than the pain that it's going to take to change my life, to order my life around those things that are most important. And I am not willing to live this way anymore. So that's where that desire or desperation, both of those dynamics within us function, I think, to propel us into what's needed. And so it's good to pay attention to those. If I was sitting with someone one-on-one and they were telling me that it was so impossible for them, I might ask them the question, well, how bad do you really want it?
Mm-hmm.
That the truth about human people is that most of us eventually will choose what it is that we most want. The function of human desire is a very deep motivator. And so to pay attention to what it is that my heart most wants, do I most want to meet God now? Do I most want to attend to some of these things within me that I know are compulsive or wounded or broken, or the longing for more of God than what I'm experiencing right now? How bad do I want it, and how willing am I to start to change my life so that I can live towards what it is that my heart most wants?
Now, you mentioned, and I agree with you on this, that, you know, there is really an addiction to fast-paced living.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're overcommitted, we're underconnected in our relationships. And so we have this desire, and as you said, there's pain and desperation. You happened to go to a spiritual director to get some help,
mm-hmm.
and you had, you know, some background in this. What about the person who says, okay, I give up, my hands are up, I need help. Where do they start?
Oh, that's such a wonderful question, because it gets to the reason why I wrote this book. I wrote it because I knew that most people couldn't have a spiritual director. And so, you know, at the point when I started to write the book, I thought, what's going to be my unique contribution to this area? Because other people have written about solitude. It's not a new idea. It's an ancient tradition.
Right.
And as I stayed with my own discomfort around not knowing how to write the book, I realized that I was supposed to write it as a spiritual director. Because I am a trained spiritual director. And so it was to be a book where I would take people by the hand and help them to say yes to the invitation, and to do it in very manageable little pieces. So it's a book that has 12 chapters that are not long chapters. They're 6 to 8 pages each. They're reflective, they're practical, they actually take you in a step-by-step way into the journey, and then there's a practice at the end of each chapter that actually helps people to practice the discipline, the kind of help that I receive from a spiritual director.
I love that part. You know, when I read it first, when I came back after we were speaking together in Chattanooga, one day I was looking through it, and in the practice it has, you know, kind of close your eyes, breathe deeply, you know, three times, whatever. And I was reading the book. Kathy said, "Are you okay?"
<That's>
I said, "No." I said, "Here, let me show you what I'm doing."
That's
but
right.
You know, I really do appreciate the practicality of it. Now, fascinating enough, because as we think about solitude, I mean, many of us crave solitude, and yet, as you say, our lives are busy. You have a quote by Henry Nouwen at the beginning of your book, someplace, where it says, "Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life." Now, there's a whole lot of people who are trying to live spiritual lives, and many of them are saying, "I crave solitude," but they don't have a lot of solitude. He goes on to say, we do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to Him. We're going to agree with that in some ways, but why don't we do it?
Mm. Well, I think sometimes we don't think about our relationship with God in the same terms that we think about our human relationships. So, for instance, in a marriage relationship that we want to have be healthy and growing, we would say that a husband and wife need to spend time together, one-on-one, giving each other their full and undivided attention for that relationship to grow. It's wonderful when we raise kids and generate income and do the carpooling and mow the grass and do all those things that life requires of us. But a healthy marriage is going to be a marriage that's characterized by those people at times being able to choose each other and give each other their undivided attention. Well, our relationship with God unfolds in the very same way. That yes, God is with us in the everyday moments of our lives, and it's another wonderful discipline to begin to learn how to discover God in the midst of the ordinariness of our lives. But if we value our relationship with God and allow it to unfold like a human relationship would unfold, we understand that there has to be those times when we are alone with God and give God our undivided attention. Otherwise, there's going to be limits to the intimacy in that relationship.
Well said. We're going to take a break, Ruth. We'll be right back. Ruth's book is called Invitation to Solitude and Silence, Experiencing God's Transforming Presence. A great book, and I highly recommend it. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns, and you're listening to Homeward.
If you're enjoying this program today, remember that we stream audio at homeward.com. We also podcast the Monday through Friday edition of the Homeward broadcast, and this program falls into that category, of course. If you would like to podcast along with us, first of all, know there's no cost involved to you, unless you don't have an MP3 player or an iPod, then you might have to make that purchase. But if you go to homeward.com, we've simplified the process for you. It's streamlined. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, and then once you do, you'll see the podcast option come up. If you click that button, it should, Lord willing, take you right to our site on iTunes. You can set up the subscription, and then that way all of the programs that we produce for our podcast can be loaded right into your MP3 player, your iPod, whatever device you like to use, and then you can listen to Jim on demand, as the kids like to say. So again, go to homeward.com, homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab, and when you see podcast, that'll set you right up. Okay, let's get back into it now. The conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Here once again is Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is Spiritual Direction Day. How do you like that, Roger? We haven't really used that term much here. We're talking about stopping the madness in your life with Ruth Haley Barton. She's written a great book called Invitation to Solitude and Silence, Experiencing God's Transforming Presence. So basic and yet so important, and frankly, for some of us, hard to do. Ruth, right before the break, we were talking about solitude and its importance of solitude. And one of the phrases that I picked up in your book is we have to identify sacred mm-hmm. space and time. Talk about sacred space for a minute.
Well, the word sacred just simply means set apart, and in this case, set apart for God. So a sacred space would be a space that's been set apart for God. And then I just broadened the idea to talk about time as well, that there could be a sacred time, a time that is set aside for God and God alone. And so I really encourage people at the beginning of their journey into solitude and silence to identify a place, either a place in their home or it, you know, depending on where you live, like if you live in California or Arizona, it might be a place outside because you have access to that all year. Right. Could be that you live near to a beautiful chapel or a church or someplace that has that sacred feel to it, but that becomes a place that you create in the midst of your own life that is set apart for God and God alone. I encourage people that even if they have it be someplace in their office, say, that it be some corner of the room or someplace that's completely disconnected from your work.
I think you said turn the chair even.
Even if all you
Great
can
idea.
Do is turn your chair away
right.
and look outside,
right.
that is your sacred space. And your body and your soul eventually will begin to recognize when you're entering into that sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
And so your body can actually lead your soul at that point
right.
into that sense of quiet on the inside and that sense that this time now is set apart for God and God alone.
You know, it's funny that you would say that. I have two sacred places in my home. I have a chair that I do my morning time with the Lord usually,
mm-hmm.
but I also have an outside thing, and Kathy has another chair, and then she likes the same outside place, and there have been times here we are trying to be super spiritual,
oh.
and we're kind of fighting
oh.
for that one spot outside.
I know. My husband and I have fought about solitude in general because we both
right.
really value it, so,
right.
and sometimes when you have young kids in particular, especially in the beginning, like I said, this was 15 years ago that I started to be invited into this discipline myself, and I had a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a new baby.
Right.
And I wanted to say to God, you know, you could pick a better time
to invite
me.
A better season of life, yeah.
So we had to work it out.
Oh, absolutely. There was a season, maybe Kathy doesn't want me sharing this, maybe it's too much information, but there was a season where, you know, the bathroom door was closed and she was in there for some time and I was watching the kids, things were okay. And I said, Kathy, are you okay
in
there? She said, oh no, I'm just having my devotion. It's just a little quiet here. They can't get in.
That's right.
I thought, great. Maybe there are more people who have had, you know, time with God in solitude and silence in the toilet. Maybe that's another book for you. You know, you talk about some of the real practical things, not only identifying sacred space and time, but also, I appreciate this. You said begin with a modest goal. I think sometimes people say, "Look, I don't have much solitude and silence. Now, what I want to do is, go spend, 9 hours, with God in the next 2 days."
Right.
And you're saying, don't do that.
Right. For myself, and I'll speak very personally here. When I first began this discipline, I was only able to tolerate 10 minutes because the RPMs of my soul and my life were going so fast. You think about the RPMs of a car. That when you stop a car, depending on how fast the RPMs are going, it takes a while for the RPMs to slow down. And that's certainly my experience when I was first beginning. And so all I could really tolerate was 10 minutes of solitude and silence. And in fact, sometimes even the 10 minutes was very hard because my mind would be distracted. It seems like that would be the time when all the to-do lists would come rushing in. Or perhaps there would be something in it that was difficult for me to face and I'd want to get up and run. Or I just wasn't used to being still. And so that modest goal of 10 minutes was so hopeful and helpful to me. And I don't think it matters in the beginning, especially how much time we take. It just matters that we do it.
And then it becomes a way of life, a part of life.
That's right. And then you find that you want more and that your heart is longing for more. And then it expands naturally. It does not need to expand based on any sense of ought and should. I don't believe that's an adequate motivation for anyone to enter into spiritual disciplines. But what happens then is we begin to increase our capacity for solitude and silence, and we begin to long for more, and then that's how it becomes more.
Interestingly enough, at the same time as we begin these practices, and you have some other really helpful ideas on this, in another chapter where you talk about resistance, you quote Dallas Willard, who actually writes the foreword for your book, but he says, silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does. And I sense that. There are times in my life where if I get silent, I'm going to get in touch with that pain that you talked about at the beginning. I'm going to get in touch with my pain, with the pain of sadness, or I'm going to have a feeling of desperation where I thought, if I was busy, I didn't have that as much.
Right. And I realize that there are real stresses and complexities of our life in contemporary culture, and that's why many of us are busy, and there's a lot required of us in our culture. But I think underneath it all, many of us use busyness and a performance-oriented drivenness to help us to be out of touch with those things that would be hard for us to be in touch with. So it keeps us out of touch with what's really going on in our soul. It keeps us out of touch, our busyness, that is, keeps us from really paying attention to what's going on in relationships, what's missing or empty, in our relationships, keeps us out of touch with what's true in my relationship with God and what's not, or just the spiritual dynamics of meaning and significance or lack of self-esteem. All of those things are things that our performance-oriented drivenness helps us to stay distant from and to stay out of touch with. And that's why we're compulsive in it. We don't even know why we're doing it. It's pretty unconscious for many of us, but that is a real motivator for why we stay so busy.
That is fascinating and so true. Talk about the push-pull phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the truest places in the spiritual life is that place where you feel both yourself being drawn into something and yourself resisting it at the same time. And maybe you've had an experience like this.
Every day.
Yes. There's a sense that I want it and I feel drawn to it, but a sense that there's something in me that wants to run the other way as well. And this is so true in the area of solitude and silence. There's a part of us that knows it's right for us. There's a part of us that knows that we can meet God, that God will meet us, that we need it, that it's important. But then there's a part of us, too, that resists it and wants to run away or finds it too difficult, or those distractions that come are oftentimes just a way of ourselves resisting entering into solitude and silence. So I really encourage people that if they are paying attention and they notice that there's both the being drawn in and also the desire to run away, that that's a place where God is really at work, and that the task at that point is to stay in the place, to not allow the resistance to win, but to continue to allow yourself to be drawn in. And there's almost a threshold place so that if we can resist our resistance, if we can push past our resistance, we actually cross a threshold into a place where solitude becomes a much more comfortable and inviting place for us to be. But there will be that threshold place that's characterized by the push-pull phenomenon or that experience of resistance.
Makes a lot of sense. We don't have much time left, but I want you to offer some words of encouragement to the parent who might be listening, who pretty much is overwhelmed with the stresses of life. How do they begin to practice solitude and silence in their lives?
I would encourage them to just look at their life, even for the little tiny pockets of places where it could be quiet. Maybe you have a 10-minute or a 15-minute to commute, you know, a commute to work, when you could choose not to turn on the radio. Or maybe you drop your kids off at preschool and you have 10 or 15 minutes on the way home. Or maybe if you're a working person, you do have a lunch hour, and maybe even if it's only a half an hour, there are some days when you could choose to make that a solitude time. Or maybe there's ways that you and your spouse could spell each other, and knowing that solitude is so valuable and that you could give each other a half an hour somewhere along the way. You know, I'll take the kids right now, you go be on your own. But we have to be disciplined about it too, because there is a lot to do in life. And so the minute we get that time, everything we need to do rushes in. Like, I should be doing dishes, or I should throw another load of laundry into the dryer. I've got to get out there and mow the lawn. Got to make this phone call. Well, we need to resist those forces and say, yeah, those things will all be there, but but I know I need this 20 minutes. And whatever amount of time we can give God, I think God is just waiting outside the borders of our busyness, just waiting for that little opening. So even if all we can give him is 10 minutes, which is all I gave him the first whole year that I was practicing, God is so faithful to come in to those spaces that we create for him. And so even if it's just 10 minutes a day, I believe God will be faithful to enter into those spaces.
Great input. Ruth, our time has gone by so fast, and I want to ask you to, first of all, can you come back next time?
Yep, we'll look forward to it.
We've got to talk about being dangerously tired. We've got to talk about our physical exercise, how solitude and silence relates to our bodies, our minds, our souls, and the list goes on.
Certainly does, and we have to be mindful of that. Our thanks to Ruth Haley Barton for being with us today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Our program theme, Experiencing Peace Amidst the Pressures of Life, we archive all the audio at homeward.com, so if you'd like to look this program up again or maybe encourage a friend to listen to it. We can also burn you a CD if you'd like. Just contact us, call 800-397-9725, or write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. We'll send you a copy of the CD as our way of thanking you for your tax-deductible donation of any amount in support of the ministry. We look forward to hearing from you today. Again, you want to just mention today's date and the program title.
Well, Ruth Haley Barton has been my guest today here on Homeward. We've been talking about experiencing peace amidst the pressures of life. What a very important and actually timely topic. On my wall in my office is a great poem, and I'm going to read you a poem, and you hardly ever hear a poem from Jim on this show, but here it goes. It's called Slow Me Down, Lord. And it says, slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me, amid the confusion of the day, the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tensions of my nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams that live in my memory. Teach me the art of taking a minute vacation, of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pat a dog, to smile at a child, to read a few lines of a good book. Slow me down, Lord, and inspire me to send my roots deep into the soil of life's enduring values that I may grow toward my greater destiny. Well, I'm a firm believer in intentionally slowing down the pace of life from time to time. I think it's healthy. I know it's necessary. And really, it may be one of the most important things you can do for the relationships that are most important in your life. Roger?
Well, Jim, I know that every time we have a program on self-care, and this program definitely falls into the self-care category, we get calls from people who say, gosh, you know, I feel kind of guilty doing this, you know, taking that time for myself. At the same time, we know that as spiritual beings in human bodies, as C.S. Lewis would say, that we have to be mindful of the fact that we've got to take care of our souls. And this is kind of a soul care program today. So if you have been blessed by what you heard from Dr. Ruth Haley Barton and Dr. Jim Burns, we would love to hear from you. And remember, we archive all the audio at homeward.com. You can go back and listen to this program whenever you want to. And we're able to archive and provide this program to stations because of your prayers and faithful financial support. If you could give a gift right now to support our ministry, we're coming up on the end of our fiscal year. We would love to hear from you. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com.
Well, if you feel like you've got too much to do today and not enough time to do it, I want to leave you with this word of encouragement. The fact that you're listening to this program right now is a good sign. And in fact, you may be doing what a lot of people are doing, and that's multitasking at the same time. But it means that you can set aside 20, 30 minutes a day to refresh and renew your spirit by listening to Homeward. So let me encourage you to keep on doing so. Do it for your family, for your kids, for your spouse. And please let me know how the ministry of Homeward is helping you. Be sure to join me again next time. I'll be continuing my conversation with Ruth Haley Barton on this important topic of experiencing peace amidst the pressures of life. It's going to be a good conversation, so I hope you'll tune in. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.